ask not only what am I doing or am I doing Christian work, but ask also, am I doing it in the spirit and character of Christ?
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, July 19th, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Winning the Race, and our text comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So let's go to our Bibles to a theme that is very compatible with the spirit of the country today as far as games is concerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. By the way, it's good to see Al here today. If you don't know who Al is, he's right there. Let's look at it. Do you not know that in the World Cup, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. May God bless the reading of his word. St. Paul was an extraordinary man, and he understood the culture in which he lived. Of course he did. And as you read Paul, you find that he uses familiar images to explain the Christian life. When you read his epistles, you find that he talks about the Christian life and compares them to soldiers, to the farmers, to the human body, and also as athletes. And the athletes were very special and very meaningful to the church of Corinth. And this is the book of Corinthians that we're reading, because they were familiar with the Isthmian Games. They held that in near their city. And they were sport maniacs. Of course, we have no idea what that is. This whole place here is not going to go to heaven, but that's okay. I'll go have fun next Sunday. Sports maniacs, the Greco-Roman world and in foot races and wrestling and boxing and horse and chariot racing. It was quite a spectacle. And so the Corinthians understood very well what it meant to train. Training and sacrifice and competition and perseverance. And the objective was to win a prize. Why do you think that in a few minutes some people are going to be running in the middle of the heat or the rain? I don't know what the weather is like. They do it to win the cup, the World Cup. They do it to win a prize. And Paul says, you need to run in such a way that you will obtain the prize as you seek God. And we don't run today to simply earn our salvation. That's not the case, because salvation is a gift of God. But because Christ has saved you and me, he's called us. And in that calling, there requires to be faithful following. And the question for you and for me this morning is not have I entered the race, because as Christians, we have entered the race. The question is, am I running in such a way that I'm going to finish well, that I'm going to get the prize, that I'm going to get to where I need to go? So this opens the scenario for about three or four things. First of all, we all understand, hopefully, that when you become an athlete, you run with a clear goal. Paul says in 9:26, 1 Corinthians 9:26, I do not run aimlessly. In other words, a serious runner, athlete, knows where the finish line is. He doesn't run in circles. Though sometimes I think that happens. But anyway, every step that the athlete takes is connected to a destination, to a place where he or she wants to arrive. But in a Christian walk, often we find people are to be too busy and they're not purposeful enough. they may attend church, and I thank you for being here this morning. You may hear sermons, which I appreciate very much, and you can participate of activities that we have throughout the week. But have you understood the real goal of your Christian walk is not those things, but becoming more like Christ? All those things complement the race. They are signposts of how you're developing in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to church, hearing sermons, participating in activities. But the goal is not just that. The goal is for you to apprehend Christ as Christ has apprehended you. The goal of Christian life is Christ-likeness. The goal, the race that we're in, Paul says that I may know him. And again, Paul's the whole desire is for you and I to press forward towards the goal. And the goal in your life and my life is not necessarily to know more biblical information. It's not to be more, quote, religious. It's not even to look more respectable than others. But of course you do, and those who stayed home, I'm going to have a word for them next Sunday. But it's not that. It's not that. The goal is to know Christ and become like Christ. That's the goal in your life and my life. And I need to come to church. I need to have biblical information. I need to be a person who imitates and glows the presence of Christ around. But the idea is for me to become more like Christ in the daily routines of my life. That includes Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and, of course, Sunday. Now, the goal is important in your mind to be like Christ because that determines your direction. So the athlete cannot run in every direction all at once. Imagine if we would see the soccer game and we would see Messi going, you know, in favor of Spain. Oh, God, what a horrible nightmare that is. I mean, they know how to play and they know who to play and they know the direction of where they need to play. And so you and I, too, we have to make choices as to how we live. So you and I need to ask ourselves the question, is this decision that I'm going to do, is this that I'm going to do today or tomorrow or afterwards, is it leading me towards Christ? Is this habit strengthening me or weakening my spiritual life? Is this good or is this bad for my life? Is the way I use my time, is it consistent with God's call in my life? What kind of person am I becoming? Those are profound questions, and I don't want to fill you with all those profound questions, but I just need to remind you that there is direction in your life, and whatever you do today or tomorrow or day after tomorrow, they need to comply. They need to focus as to the goal of your Christian life. What am I doing today? Is it focusing Christ? Am I becoming more like Christ in my everyday affairs of life? And may I just throw this in? Do not confuse movement with progress. You can be active and still be spiritually aimless. I mean, where are you headed in your walk with the Lord? How clear is Christ in the horizon of your life? As you go day by day, you need to run with Christ clearly before you. This is the Lord, and I'm following him every day of my life. Now, what I'm going to say next, it really is very difficult to admit, but there is a necessity for discipline because every athlete accepts discipline. 1 Corinthians 9:25, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. That's what we read in Scripture. Training is necessary for the race. You know, I know athletes. I know them. And they regulate their lives. Oh, my goodness. Some people are obsessed. Some people who want to be athletes also, you know, they're obsessed in what power drinks they take and how many hours in the gym and how many this and how many that. And they train when they feel strong, but also they train when they're not inspired. We got someone in our church who was a bodybuilder and lifter, and her name was Kelly. Remember Sister Kelly? There were pictures of her, you know, bodybuilding in the gyms over there. And I asked her one time, don't you sometimes get tired? He said, oh, yeah, sometimes I get very tired. And I just have no inspiration. But I force myself, because those small moments when I feel like I shouldn't do are the most important in my life. And athletes repeat ordinary exercises because they know that those ordinary exercises prepare them for the decisive moment. Ah, whoa, really? Yeah. You know, they're playing very well. What time does the game start? Huh? 1 o'clock?
5 minutes.
Lord, we pray this morning. Every one of those people in the field, all of them has exercised and have trained themselves with outstanding discipline. So you and I have a course of discipline. We need to pray. We need to read the scriptures. We need to worship. We need to fellowship. We need to service. We need to be generous. There needs to be moments of solitude with the Lord. And none of those are punishments. They're ways in which you and I accept the discipline of the Lord. I don't think I need to confess this, because I think you probably know it. I'm just as human as you are. Sometimes reading the scriptures and praying is not an easy task. But this is, you train when you don't feel inspired. You pray when you're not inspired. You read the Bible when you're not inspired. You just push yourself into it, and then you get into it, and then it flows. So don't wait until you're in the right mood to do it. Just do it. Do it. So we place ourselves in the presence of God through prayer and scripture reading and worship, as I mentioned. And we don't go into his presence asking God to love us, because God already loves us. And he's inviting us into a fellowship. He really is. And we don't read scriptures to complete an assignment. I remember this gentleman one time in our church says, I read the Bible once a year, and then I said, I can do better. And he said he would read the Bible 3 times a year. It did do nothing for him. I can read Shakespeare, and it would probably do more for me, because he was not internalizing. He was just reading and reading. No, you need to pause. You need to have time with the Lord. You need to chew on the things that God gives you. It's not just reading a marathon. That's not what it is. And so when you read scripture, you don't complete an assignment. You read God's word. And we mentioned this last Sunday. We'll do it in the Sundays to come, because it renews our mind and forms our character. There it is. That's why the enemy fights you for spending time in the word. Sometimes people say, I don't understand when I read. Keep reading. You will. And the Lord speaks to you at the level you're in. And you will grow tremendously by allowing the word of God to come into your heart, transform your mind, transforms your character. Discipline prepares us for faithful living. And that's exactly what we need to do. And also discipline teaches our desire, that our desires are not our masters. Corinthians 9:27. I discipline my body and keep it under control. This is what your body and my body says. I'm tired. The following do not apply to you or to me. Pride says, I want recognition. Anger says, I want revenge. Fear says, I want safety. The flesh says, choose the easiest road. But the Spirit of God says, follow Christ. And spiritual maturity means that every feeling and appetite no longer control us. We submit it to the Lord. That's why I previously said, sometimes I don't want to do things that I say we need to do. We're just as human as anybody else. But you push yourself in that place because you're an athlete for God and you want to win the prize. So you put effort into your Christian life. It's Dallas Willard who said that grace is not opposed to effort. Absolutely. We're saved by grace. Therefore, I don't have to do anything to earn my salvation. Nothing to do with salvation. It's allowing salvation to be applied to your life. That's what you need God's grace to help you do these things. You do not earn your salvation, but God's grace trains us to live as people that have been saved. Lord, work in my life. Three things. God gives strength, but we must run. God gives us the word, but we must receive it. God gives us the spirit, but we must walk in the spirit. So my question this morning before I end this long sermon, not really. What part of your spiritual life needs training? Don't wait to be motivated. Faithfulness begins before enthusiasm arrives. It's amazing. I don't know how many times I've gone through the scriptures, and every time that I go to scriptures, I find something else that speaks to me and addresses my life. One more thing. The athlete runs according to the rules. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And here it comes down to the fact that sincerity is not enough. You can be sincere and still run in the wrong direction. You can have good intentions, but that will never replace obedience. You cannot invent your own version of discipleship. You cannot make it up. Christ is the one that determines the course in your life. It's very important. The world measures you by numbers and influence and titles and recognitions and visible results. But God measures our faithfulness. Are you continuing to do what God asked you to do in the first place? When we talk about ministry, ministry is not successful if the minister loses his soul. And this is one that is directed to me. It's a sermon that is not truly powerful if the preacher refuses to live. If I don't live what I preach, then what am I doing here? A person has not really won because others applaud. It's important that we know how to run, and we run according to the rules of the game, so to speak. Because our private life and public life has to have one direction. You can't be one thing at work and another thing at church. You can't. And our doctrine, what we believe, has to match our behavior. And word and actions have to tell the same story. We're not only accomplishing something for Christ, my brothers, my sisters. We're becoming a certain kind of person in Christ. And people look at you, and they need to see Jesus in your life. So, let me see if I can do this right. Ask not only, what am I doing, or am I doing Christian work, but ask also, am I doing it in the spirit and character of Christ? Paul said, I'm finished, I remain faithful, I kept the faith. So as I conclude this morning, the athlete teaches us four things. Run with a clear goal. Secondly, accept the disciplines. By discipline, the prayer, the exercises of reading the word, of worshiping, of community. Accept those spiritual disciplines. Thirdly, run according to the way of Christ. And lastly, persevere until the race is finished. So, guess something else. Guess who's running next to you? The Lord is running next to you. You don't run alone. Christ has gone before us. The Holy Spirit strengthens us. The church runs beside us. Grace restores us when we fall. Have you ever fallen and tripped? Ooh. I've fallen 3 times in my life. It is the most embarrassing thing that could ever happen to you. Just walking in the street, walking, and all of a sudden the curb changed, and boom, bah! You go. Three times. The last one really doesn't count because a car over the embankment and I had to run, but then I fell. But I got up, scarred. That's where makeup comes in, you know. But anyway. Grace restores you when you fall. You will fall. It never, but God restores you. So you, if you're running strongly today, if you're running, remain humble. Your day is not over yet. Your life is not over. Remain humble. Perhaps you're tired in the race. Well, receive strength and keep running. You don't have water breaks. Perhaps you've become distracted in the race. Well, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus. Maybe you really have committed some real bad things and you have not just fallen, you're still on the ground. Disillusioned, you blame yourself for things that happen, issues in personal life and in your marriage and with your children and with your family, whatever. Look, receive forgiveness from the Lord and stand again and return to the race. Do I have time for one more? You're not interested in the game, and I already know who's going to win. You know, I'm not telling you who, but you know, it's an incredible time that we're living here, and I don't belittle those who are looking at the game and not come to church. I just think it's the way it goes, and I've never been a legalistic pastor, and it's fine. But those people running today, they run for what Paul calls in verse 25, they do it to receive a perishable wrath, but we an imperishable wrath. And everybody applauded Pelé when he was a great soccer player. I don't know if you ever remember, Pelé was Brazilian, I will admit it. Then everybody was going out of their minds with Maradona, you know. And now it's messy, but earthly rewards fade and applause becomes silent and titles ends and records are broken and somebody else picks up where some other person left. But the reward that God gives is eternal. And the greatest reward for you and for me is not just a crown, but it's Jesus Christ himself. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul didn't say, I became famous, guys. Look at me. He didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, everybody understood me. He didn't even say, everything I attempted has succeeded. No, none of that stuff. Don't run aimlessly. Don't allow temporary issues or pleasures to steal the eternal calling of God. Don't abandon the race because the road has become difficult. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Discipline your life. Remain faithful. Run in such a way that you're going to win. The Lord is running with you. When you trip and you fall, he picks you up and you keep moving for the glory of God. That's more than what Messi can say. Well, that's more than Spain can say or any other country can say. It's you and the Lord. He will help you. He will pick you up, and he will give you the ability to run the race until you face him face to face. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us into the race of faith. Lord, give us a clear goal. Help us to see where we're going, Lord. And as we begin to see where we're headed, Lord, give us a life that is disciplined to pursue, Lord, with times of prayer and solitude and worship and community. And help us to live a disciplined life. Lord, give us an obedient heart that we will do what you tell us what to do, and that we don't invent our own gospel or our own way of discipleship, but that we follow the rules of your word. And Lord, in the moments of weakness, give us the strength and allow us to persevere. Lord, I ask you to help us, because often we become tired and we need to be renewed. Lord, there are times that we stumble in the race, so I pray for you to restore us. Lord, often we become distracted with so many things around us. Help us to turn our eyes towards you, Lord. Oh, Lord, by your grace, enable each one of us to fight the good fight, to finish the race, and to keep the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord, and amen, and amen. Will you stand with me? Don't ever underestimate what God can do in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, church, this is the day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bb4square.org. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, check out the live stream here on YouTube. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.